Oil prices are surging again, raising fears of more inflation. But didn't we just do this a few months ago? If you recall last summer, especially October and September, oil prices were driven higher by supply factors. And as oil prices were screaming, many people were saying, okay, here comes inflation. But that's not what resulted. In fact, what we ended last year in terms of consumer prices was in disinflation. Very thorough disinflation, and not just the United States, around the rest of the world too. Not only that, in the aftermath of that oil price spike, we also saw lots of economic data move in the wrong direction as well. Retail sales in the United States suddenly got soft. On top of both of those things, the markets back in October in particular told us that something big was changing as far as the economy went, and it wasn't in the inflationary direction. So as oil prices are surging here, first of all, we got to decide, is it because the global economy is picking up? Is there a demand component? Or is this really just about the geopolitics of the Middle East and the Ukrainian conflict? Because there's a tremendous difference in both of those scenarios. And on the one side, it puts us in something like maybe the 1970s, as you'll hear throughout many of the mainstream reports and conversation, that this is like 1973 all over again. But on the other hand, like I said, we just went through this last year. And in oil prices that are driven higher for non-economic reasons, they tend to have the opposite of an inflationary or reflationary or recovery impact on the real economy. So let's try to make sense of what the oil market is doing and what its effects will be. So Steve, let me ask you that question. Oil prices are surging, obviously. Everybody can see that. Do you see this as a demand story, or is this really just all about conflicts and potential supply fears?
Jeff, for me, it's clearly about all the shocks going on in the Middle East right now, because if you look at what's going on in the economy, if we were seeing demand increase, if we were seeing the economy grow, that would be fine. In fact, that would be great, and that would justify the increase in oil. But we can look at something like the Consumer Price Index and say, wait a minute, it's still kind of trending in a downward direction in a disinflationary mode, yet against rising oil prices. And that doesn't start to add up correctly, because we should see the opposite effect. If consumers are feeling better about their future and they're feeling better about their finances, they're going to consume more energy, they're going to buy more stuff, and we're going to see that backfeed throughout the economy. Instead, now this is a challenge here, because a lot of people, Jeff, as you know, they see rising oil prices, they automatically think more inflation, because we're being trained to all think like we work for the Federal Reserve. But the challenge here is, if consumers can't afford higher prices, their consumption declines. And then in this case, higher oil prices is actually a negative. That's what I see is going to happen. Now, obviously, it's too soon. Prices have risen very quickly here, so we'll see this with a lag. But my guess is in the weeks and months to come, we're going to see crude oil inventory levels go in a direction that most people don't really expect them to go.
Yeah, I don't think most people realize that demand for oil is inelastic versus price. And what that means is the price will go up. We tend to just pay it because we have to. Oil is a really incredibly important part of the economy. And so as oil prices go up, we pay it. But that means we have to take money from other areas in order to pay for what used to be more easily absorbed. So as we're paying more for oil, unless there actually is some rising increase in the economic conditions someplace else, that means we're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, right? We're taking away from our discretionary spending in order to pay this non-discretionary shock, really. It's an imposition. And you just mentioned something, too, that we see maybe the effect of that in terms of decelerating consumer prices outside of the energy sector. And we look over to our friends in Europe, and they have seen that and then some. Their consumer price numbers have been thoroughly disinflationary over the last several months, despite oil prices rising and rising and rising. We'll see what happens in the month of April. But the European economy might be giving us sort of a clue here. The European economy is definitely weaker than it is in the United States or in any other place around the world. So as Europe continues to get more disinflationary, even with oil prices rising, like you just said, Steve, that's sort of giving us this hint about what the actual demand situation is. And the ability of an economy of consumers and businesses to be able to absorb that price shock, that's really the big issue here.
You know, Jeff, you may have a great point here because you said consumers just have to pay higher energy prices. And that's generally true. We can cut our expenses a little bit. We can travel less. We can do other things. But when you go to the gas pump and say a fill up is an extra $10, well, maybe fill up your car 2, 3, 4 times a month, depending on what you drive and how much you drive. That's going to take, you know, and it seems small, $10, $20, but that's money that's not being spent elsewhere. And then you look at the economy. The markets are sitting near all-time high. Oil prices are rising. We're kind of seeing a rebound in manufacturing. We're seeing, of course, non-farm payroll reports continue to look strong. And you kind of get the impression that some of these producers are saying, hey, you know what? Maybe the economy's back. I'm not seeing it yet because we look at the survey responses and you can tell they're just not convinced. But then they kind of peek out the window and say, well, at some point, this is going to hit. And it's almost like they're producing, you know, goods ahead of time. And I think they're going to be really disappointed to find out that consumer spending is actually going to go down here. Now, we may see it on a non-adjusted, you know, inflation-adjusted basis go up because of the higher prices of energy. But I think we're going to see a shift from discretionary spend over to energy. Not good for the economy. Not good for the labor market either.
Yeah, as I said, we just did this a couple months ago, last year. So the question, I guess, is then, is this time actually different? Are we seeing anything substantially, meaningfully different from when we went through this last fall? Because in the aftermath of the oil price rise, whether it was attributable entirely to that or not is a separate question. I don't think it was. I mean, it didn't help. And I think that's the message that you're saying here is that, look, anytime oil prices jump like this, and it's for non-economic reasons, not because demand is actually picking up all that much, it tends to have a more harmful impact and a more immediate impact. But that's not the only thing that really slowed the economy down at the end of last year. Again, I mentioned retail sales, and there are a whole bunch of other statistics, especially around the rest of the world, where, you know, oil prices apply more broadly and globally, that the global system, in particular Europe, a huge, huge, huge decline there, suggesting that this time actually might be different in the respect that maybe we're in worse shape now than we were in, say, September and October heading toward the end of the year. And then an oil price surge in this way, in the same way, to this degree, and maybe even to a higher degree, we haven't even seen the top of it yet. Maybe this will be even a little more destructive than it had been just 6 months ago.
You know, Jeff, I agree with that absolutely 100% because you look at the economy and we continue to see kind of this drain of pandemic savings. Now, the government said it was gone, but obviously it still filters around in the economy. So right now, these higher energy prices are very, very dangerous for the average consumer. Now, we could argue that, hey, you know, if the Fed was cutting rates and somehow that consumers' budgets were being offset a little bit by saying, okay, you know what, my debt service costs are going down, so I can absorb the higher energy prices. But we can look over the last several months and from the consumer's perspective, and we can say nothing has improved, nothing meaningful. Yes, maybe a little here, but offset on the other side somewhere else. Nothing has really changed. So what this tells us, these higher energy prices, as people go to the pump and turn on their air conditioners for the summer, it's going to have a bite into their spending at a time when we see employers kind of ramped up for the big summer boom. I think there's going to be a little bit of disappointment here in the coming months.
You mentioned rate cuts. So if you're Jay Powell, which way do you turn here? Do you say, okay, this is definitely going to have some of a direct impact on the consumer price bucket because, I mean, consumer price indexes contain energy. So as energy costs go up, especially gasoline, then that's going to raise that part of the consumer bucket, and therefore the CPI would be a little bit higher than it would otherwise have been. So does Jay Powell look at that and say, uh-oh, I better be more hawkish here because, you know, in my theory of inflation, that means that expectations could become unanchored, especially if consumer prices are re-rising again. Suddenly people get the impression, disinflation wasn't actually established. Does Jay Powell become more hawkish, or does he start thinking like we're thinking, like, oh boy, we just did this and oil prices were not inflationary. In fact, they actually seem to have a harmful impact on the global economy, the U.S. economy too. Do I start thinking about more rate cuts because maybe the U.S. is a little bit softer than it was last year, less able to absorb that price increase? What do you do if you're Jay Powell? Do you pick the inflation or the weakness? And are you more hawkish or you start to become dovish?
You know, Jeff, if we put on our data dependent hat, because of course, if we're going to pretend to be central bankers, we have to only follow the data. And of course, like you said, oil prices are rising, that back feeds into higher consumer prices. We know the Fed is super worried about a repeat of the 1970s. And despite the fact that Jay Powell claims to be an expert on the 1970s, we could really argue he actually knows nothing about the 1970s, but he's going to look at the non-farm payroll report and say, wow, look, the labor market's strong. We're adding people. That's going to turn into demand and further push prices up. So he's going to be looking at this from a central banker perspective, and he's probably going to be nervous about it. Now, does it mean he's going to be raising rates? I don't think he's going to do that, but I think you brought up a good point. Is he going to talk with a hawkish tilt to say, hey, you know what? If this turns into more inflation, I'm going to have to raise. I think he does, because he's also looking at the equity market, which has not turned out to be what everyone thought, because the wealth effect has not happened. We know for a fact people are richer, but they're not spending as if they're richer. So again, you start to look at this and say something's not right here. But does Jay Powell get it right? Does he interpret it correctly like we would? I don't think so. I think we get a hawkish tilt here, but I think he's super nervous. I think he knows that something isn't right, but he's not sure what it is.
Yeah, well, I think that's the case all the time. Let's turn our focus here to the bond market for a moment, because the bond market reaction to everything this week, including higher oil prices, a much better than expected payroll report, which I guess is always expected nowadays. We should expect 300,000 every single month. But the bond market, despite mainstream commentary talking about bond yields screaming higher, as anyone who can look at a chart can see, bond rates have been basically sideways to very, very slightly higher over the last almost 8 weeks now. Is that the marketplace doing exactly what you're thinking, which is, okay, Jay Powell is going to sound more aggressively hawkish because he wants to make sure that people, in the public mind anyway, that the Fed is still focused entirely on consumer. Yes, we see the rise in oil prices and we're still really laser focused on it. But yet at the same time, the market knows Powell is really thinking more about the rate cuts because he's worried about the effects. Does that sort of frozen Jay Powell in the middle, is that why the market has been really really steady and rates haven't gone anywhere or really for a significant period of time here?
You know, Jeff, I'm kind of looking around the other parts of the world, and what are we hearing? Central bankers talking about cuts, you know, and so how can everybody else be cutting if we're not going to cut at some point? Because this is the entire global economy is going to go, except the U.S. And you and I have talked about this many times, that we are not an island in a globally synchronized economy, except when some policymaker needs us to be and says, look, we're decoupled. We were never actually that mattered before, but then it does. So we're going to recouple and then it does matter. It doesn't make any sense. But I think the bond market's looking around the rest of the world, say, wait a minute, if everyone else is cutting, and he's talking about potentially hiking, not a chance. It means something's wrong, and it just hasn't hit the United States yet. But that would make sense as the world's largest importer. We're going to see things with a lag that the exporters are going to see first. I think that's what the bond market's looking at here.
Yeah, so we have interest rates that are basically steady, but yet stocks that are, well, they've been higher, but they're kind of stuck in a little range for the last couple of weeks here. Is the stock market maybe thinking rate hikes? Maybe this is maybe the economy's off, or is this just another fluctuation in shares before they make another leg higher? Because you and I both know, and we've been talking about this for how long now? We said that the stock markets were going to make a bit aggressive move higher once they started talking about rate cuts. And it didn't matter where. Nobody really cares where the rate cuts start, because as you just pointed out, once they do start, all of them do it not necessarily at the same time, but they're all moving in the same direction. They're basically a herd. I think he's looking at oil prices and thinking, this just complicated my job enormously. Even though, as you and I know, that as far as the real economy is concerned, don't look at the CPI, look at the effect afterward. And like I keep coming back to last year and the year before, let's talk about, 2022, huge surge in oil prices in 2022. What happened? Well, consumer prices stopped. They stopped rising and they started going sideways to lower. So every time we see oil prices surge for non-economic reasons, it leads to eventually, may take a couple months, it leads eventually to disinflation, and it leads to slowdown and maybe worsen the real economy. Now, Powell's a smart guy. He's actually not an economist, but I think he's been stuck with economists for so long, he actually has become one, or at least he's become like one. So, I mean, he's a smart guy, and he's seen how this has worked out the last couple of times. So I do think that he has in his mind that, you know, the economy in 2024 is not nearly as, there's not nearly as much momentum as there was in 2022 or even in 2023. So even though oil prices might rise, which I'm going to focus on, there is still the chance that there is a negative effect on consumer prices elsewhere, as well as the real economy. But as far as my, I think he's really worried about the oil prices.
Yeah. And then effect, of course, down on the labor market, which we know that's become his latest fixation as well. Everything else is okay as long as people don't lose their jobs, which is hilarious because Challenger Gray and Christmas is like, hey, people are losing their jobs. Now, granted, they're not showing up in the unemployment data yet because, as we know, that there are going to most likely people are going to be on some form of severance package. But as you kind of talked about, that it's still driving the equity markets here, but it's not driving consumption. Of course, investors are thinking, gosh, if they could just cut rates a little bit, they're going to unleash all of this pent up demand. And I keep looking at the data, Jeff, and I'm like, I don't see pent up demand here because I see paychecks shrinking relative to the economy and inflation. I don't think consumers, I don't think it makes a difference. I think you cut rates, I don't think consumers spending budgets at all, which would be a dangerous move because if Powell starts cutting and nothing gets better, which is usually what happens, next thing you know, we're downward spiral and rates are going way back down.
Yeah, that's the thing. That despite all of the whatever you think of the economy now, it's more likely than not to have a negative impact, this oil price surge. You just said paychecks are shrinking. Well, they're already shrinking, and now a much bigger part of it, a much bigger slice of it, is now going to be devoted to paying gasoline and everything else. And what's left over? Maybe that's what the Fed is looking at. Maybe the market, the bond market's looking at the same thing and thinking, yeah, what is left over here?
Well, and maybe that's why we see a big surge in the non-farm payroll. If it's all part-time jobs, it starts to make sense. You know, one job holder's taking on a second. Maybe someone who's not working is coming back in to pick up a few hours just to supplement the higher cost. Could be a factor here. But all it tells me is this idea that the economy is booming here. Jeff, I don't see it.
They're both sitting there. Not a good start here.
Mine's okay.
All right, we'll just see if it works. If it doesn't, then we'll have to do it all over again.
Great. Then we have to start off. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do?